today on Real Radio.
The reason why America is great or was great or is great, maybe could be great again, is not because of our financial prowess or our military. It's because it's the God of the Bible. That's the only way that America could become great again. It's the only way America became great, was the God of the Bible. Okay? We want to be careful about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God Over All, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're glad you've joined us today. You know, God gave the prophet Isaiah an awesome responsibility. He was not only to magnify the Lord as the Holy One of Israel, but also to point us toward the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the Anointed One. Some of Isaiah's prophecies extended far into the future, when deliverance will finally come to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 46, we were reminded that it will take all of eternity to truly experience God's divine nature. God is one God with three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not three different gods. His glory is not to be compared with any other man-made idols. After all, can an idol tell the future? Only God can perform the impossible. So today on day 2 of chapter 47, Pastor Jack tells us that if foreign leaders decide to attack Israel, it's not going to go well for them. Middle Eastern nations are constantly wanting to either divide up Israel or destroy it. But God will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. The nations who support its borders will be blessed. And now, continuing his lesson called God Over All, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Those who are mediums that speak on behalf of the dead, God does not take it lightly. And it's Babylonianism. And yet it's growing in America today. You can't drive down a street of communities and there's palm readers, tarot cards. It's not a joke. Yet people are all enamored by that. They won't read their Bibles, but they'll go to these knucklehead things to find out about their future. Do you remember Cleo? Yes. The woman that was with the turban and stuff on TV, had all the commercials? If you called her up and paid the money, she'd tell you your future? Isn't it funny that she went bankrupt? Couldn't she see that coming? Verse 10, for you have trusted in your wickedness and you have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you and you shall not know where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Verse 12, stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. That's actually, God is mocking them right now. Verse 13, you are wearied in the multitude of your counselors or councils. It's the advisors. You have listened to all of these advisors that you've chosen. It's not good when elected officials consult mediums regarding their government practices. Did you know that? You know that happens in America? You have elected officials who are praying and seeking witchcraft people to counsel them on what to do. How about listening to the constituents who put them in office? No, elected officials wind up getting elected and then they go to, I'm not joking, I wish I was joking, where they'll go and they'll consult spiritists regarding what decisions they should make. That is absolutely remarkable. God says, I see all that stuff. I'm watching that. Amazing. So you can become wearied in the multitude of your advisors. Let now the astrologers. Now, look at your Bible carefully, because some of your translations may be different in some of your versions of your Bible. So let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. God is mocking them. It's a sarcasm. Remarkable. The word astrologers in Hebrew, it's habar. It's where we get the word, listen, it's hard to say, horoscopist. So what is a horoscopist? The Bible in Hebrew says habar. It's those who practice the art of horoscope. Horoscope comes from the Babylonian zodiac, the zodiac, consulting the heavens for answers on how to run your life. Now, who in the world would fall for such stupid things as that? And yet people have apps of this stuff. People consult their horoscope daily. Did you know, church, that it's demonic? The horoscope is Babylonian demonism. Yeah, but you know what? It's right. Is it really right? It's like a fortune cookie. Go to P.F. Chang's, get a fortune cookie, and what are you going to hear? Nothing but good news. Has a horoscope or a fortune cookie ever said, tomorrow you're going to get a flat tire, your dog's going to bite you, and you're going to get a cold? No, it's always, you're going to meet an interesting person that your future is about to begin. Have you noticed that? It's all this junk. But God warns us. Astrologers. And then stargazers. The stargazers, the word is those who consult the movement of the heavens. The Stonehenge cult group, things like that. The pyramid cultists, where we'll get our answers. Or the Mayan. Yes, the Mayans, they were so accurate. Oh, they were amazing. You can watch programs. The stargazers. God says, I condemn the stargazers. Oh, but the Mayans were amazing. They were so advanced. If they were so advanced, and if the stars were telling them, based on their temples, you know, their amazing temples, then what happened to them? They were exterminated in short order. And then if that wasn't enough, we're so dumb that, was it 2012, the Mayan calendar? Huh? Oh, 2000? But does, whenever. It was in this millennium that the Mayan calendar gave an announcement about what's going to happen in the world. Why would we listen to that stuff? People are desperate. And when you reject the Bible, you go after stuff that's not even... Remember, is it Jean Dixon? A prophetess. False prophetess. Hey, here's one that would get people all riled up if you're a History Channel fan. You don't touch this guy, you're going to get a fight on your hands. And yet the guy is pathetically inaccurate. Is Nostradamus. The guy's a total quack. And yet History Channel, they reject all the prophets of the Bible. And they take Nostradamus and they make him into an incredibly reliable prophet. And his prophecies are absolutely something that you, if you read him, you'd have a whole different meaning. And then if you read it over here, you'd have a whole different meaning than this guy. It's absolutely crazy. When God speaks to his prophets, it is what it is. And the Bible challenges us to test God's prophetic word. And then the monthly prognosticators. This if this wasn't so funny, it'd make me angry. These are people who are they're ancient Babylonian priests, and their gig was this: we'll tell you what to do with your life this month. Next month, come back and we'll tell you what to do with your life. We'll tell you who to marry. We'll tell you what to buy. We'll tell you what to plant. We'll tell you where to live. Jesus, by the way, referred to them in the New Testament as Nicolaitans. Nico, lords, laity, laitans, laity, the people. They were lords over the people. They lorded their will over the people. And Jesus said, I hate that. People do it today. God told me to tell you. Don't listen to people that say that. It diminishes God's ability. It's a mockery of God. God told me to tell you. And no, listen, God is able to tell you yourself. And you say, well, God told me to tell you because God told me to tell you first that you're not listening to God. That's why God told me to come and tell you. So now someone is sitting in judgment on your relationship with God. And you've all heard it. You've all experienced it. I've heard it all. God told me to tell you. Right now, I'm not going to share with you what I got. Two dueling prophets that have come into my life. One prophet said one thing. unaware that the other prophets said another thing. They're completely opposite of each other, but they're prophets of God. And I'm waiting for the time to pass because they gave me dates. And so I'm waiting for time to pass. Then I'm going to let them know that this prophet said this, but this prophet said the other. Both claim to be from God. Believe me, someone's got to be wrong. Okay? Probably both of them. So be careful. Just Bible. Okay? You'll be fine. And so, stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. All of this said by God from his prophet Isaiah in defense of Israel, his people, against Babylon. Church, think about the cultures that have come against Israel that God warned them, told them, and they are no more in human history. When was the last time you met an Assyrian or a Hittite? When was the last time? You see, you go through the cultures where God says, you mess with my people and I'm going to destroy you. When's the last time you met a Philistine? Just go down the list. And modern day, I've showed you the list before, but modern day times, when you look at the empires of human history that attacked Israel, notice they're all gone. Every one of them is destroyed. The last one in modern times, well, the Persian Empire is, in a sense, is about to attack Israel again, reconstituted. So they're going to be dealt with soon. We'll talk about that in a second. But think about Nazism, the empire of Nazism. Where's Hitler? Can you imagine? Hitler thought he was going to exterminate the Jews. Listen, the Jews weren't the issue. The Jews were not the issue. Hitler, if you attack a Jew, you're going after the God of the Jews. That's what you want to be careful about. Well, you know, those Jews, they own everything. Well, they're smarter than us. That's why. You say, how dare you say that? That's a very terrible thing to say. No, it's not. It's 100% accurate. Which people group in all of humanity wins more Nobel Prizes? The Jews. Hands down. No other culture. My people group, Portuguese, we just know how to fish, and I don't even know how to do that. No, there's a high probability if you're Jewish, you're going to win a Nobel Prize. They're brilliant. Greatest technologies in the world right now coming out of Israel, and they have been for the last 40 years. Your cell phone and your iPad. I don't know if you know this or not. You might be here today or you're watching right now and you hate the Jewish people. Well, then throw away your iPad and your iPhone because of the guts on the inside. It's all Jewish. Your phone might look Gentile, but on the inside, it's Jew. You have a Jewish phone. You'd be shocked how many apps you have on your device that's Jewish. Seriously, if you have a navigational device on your phone or on your iPad or on your watch, it's Jewish. So what's going on right now? God says, don't mess with my people. Well, right now, this has been an amazing week in the news. We're going to look at some of this stuff, shifting gears today, and we're living in amazing times, church. Isaiah 47 was 3,000 years ago, but I'm telling you right now, the God of Isaiah is still alive. The God of the Jews, he's just rolling up his sleeves, so to speak. And in the news, I want to show you this slide. First slide I want you guys to see is, and this is all over the world right now, the Iranian army chief warns Israel will not survive next 25 years. This guy's he's their new boss, Iranians, the Persians, and this guy's saying Israel's done. He said 25 years. He's revised that, by the way, since. He says Israel is soon to be completely annihilated from off the earth, and Iran, Persia, is going to be the country to do it. That's what he's boasting. That's what he's saying. He's talking about his leadership as an Iranian general. He's going to do it. Okay? Apparently has no knowledge of the Bible. You don't talk like that to the God of Israel. You take on Israel. Just know this, everybody. You take on Israel, and you're swinging at the God of heaven. It never works well. It never turns out good for you if that's what you're going to do. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3, verse 1, "For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem," that means when God regathers his people, "I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat," Kidron Valley. That's between the Dome of the Rock Mosque or the Temple Mount today and the Mount of Olives. Many of you have walked with us right across that pathway. It's very short, it's very small. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people. God says, my people, who are they? My heritage Israel, whom they, that is the world, have scattered among the nations. Isn't that amazing? God says the world, what they did previously is that they scattered the Jewish people among the nations. Listen, did that happen? Wow. For the last 2,000 years. "They have also divided up my land." This is God of the Bible talking. Is it always in the news that someone's trying to divide up Israel's land? Amazing. "They have cast lots for my people, took them into captivity, used them as slaves." Has that happened? Wow. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. God says, in the context again, is the children of Abraham. He says, "I will curse him who curses you." God says to Abraham, "From your descendants, I'll bless those who bless your descendants. But concerning those who curse your descendants, I'll curse them." And I'm just laying this out before you tonight. Has that happened in history? In fact, the only thing, in my opinion, I'm probably going to get hate mail on this, but the reason why America is great or was great or is great, maybe could be great again, is not because of our financial prowess or our military. It's because it's the God of the Bible. That's the only way that America could become great again. It's the only way America became great was the God of the Bible. Okay? We want to be careful about that. And America has had a history like no other nation on earth of blessing Israel. So keep that in mind. Zechariah 12, verse 1. "This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord." This message is from the Lord who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. "I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah." That's going to happen. It's happened in history. It's going to happen again. That's the near and far fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Verse 3, Zechariah 12. "On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock." In other words, Jerusalem to the nations will be a very stubborn thing. And I ask you tonight, is that true? "All the nations will be gathered against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves," God says. Psalm 83. All of these things are genred together regarding Israel in the last days. Psalm 83. "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies," notice, your enemies, the nations, God, are attacking you. Your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against, what does it say, church? Your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. Verse 4, they have said, so before I read it, has Iran said this? Is Syria saying this? Is Iraq? Is Lebanon? Is, notice who's saying this stuff. They've said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation." Sounds like what's going on at the UN. "That the name of Israel may be remembered no more." The president of Iran just said that recently. "Let's destroy Israel from off the face of the earth. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gibal, Ammon." He lists the Philistines, Philistia. By the way, Philistia is the ancient word. The word Philistia means invader or wandering foreigner. Philistia is the root word to modern day Palestine. The Palestine is a Roman presentation. In 135 AD, Emperor Hadrian of Rome renamed Israel after the Philistines to insult the Jews and called it Palestine. It's the way the Italians would say it. Philistia is what the Bible says. It means foreigners or wandering invaders. That's what the word means. Pretty amazing, right? So God is talking about a time of the near and far fulfillment when he talks about these prophets I just mentioned to you about. I showed this to you many, I might have been a year ago. I want you to keep this in mind. When God speaks, there's the near, and it's called eschatology, the study of prophetic doctrine. When God speaks prophetically, there's a near fulfillment of it and there's a far fulfillment of it. So what does that mean? When Isaiah, for example, spoke something that would happen, part of it took place in a very immediate short-term period of time, but the total fulfillment of it will be the far completion or fulfillment. They're near fulfillment, far fulfillment. And when you read the Bible, it looks like two things. I want to show you this picture because it's a really perfect picture. Where we live here in the Southland, you guys recognize that mountain immediately. What's it called? Class, it's Saddleback. What? It's Saddleback Mountain. Okay, here's the deal. Look at it carefully. It looks like one mountain, that's one mountain. It's not one mountain. It's two separate peaks. What's unique about Saddleback Mountain is perfect analogy for the near and far fulfillment when you look at Bible prophecy. You want to be very careful when you read Bible prophecy that you read the entire Bible to understand it. Why? You can take an airplane and fly 360 degrees all the way around Saddleback Mountain, and Saddleback Mountain keeps the shape of a saddle. Because of the way the mountain is laid out, or the mountain peaks, plural, are laid out, whatever angle you fly, it retains that Saddleback look. In the middle are valleys. So Isaiah would speak, or Ezekiel would speak, and the mountain peak on the left would be the near fulfillment. Then there would be a valley of time. Could be 50 years, could be 3,000 years. And the far fulfillment would be the peak on the right, and that's how God speaks. So you might say, well, Jack, the verses you read a moment ago, oh, that's already happened. Yes and no. It happened in a small scale, but it will happen in the total scale. And the qualifier is what is called, you've heard this, the last days. That's the qualifier, and it's quite remarkable when you study that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God Over All. Thanks for joining us today, and let's take comfort in the fact that the Lord is ruler over all of us. He will win in the end. God Over All is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, with the way the world is going, do you often think about heaven and what it's going to be like? We often think of heaven when life seems to stretch us beyond our limits, or when it's exhausting just to get up in the morning. But have you really done a study on heaven? We do get a glimpse of heaven in the Bible, many mansions, the streets of gold, but what else is there to discover about heaven? Well, December's Book of the Month will give you a thorough biblical answer. It's simply called Heaven, and it's written by Randy Alcorn. This engaging and reader-friendly study will stretch your thinking, and his conclusions just might surprise you. Again, December's Book of the Month, it's called Heaven, written by Randy Alcorn. It makes a great gift for someone you know who could use a little inspiration this Christmas, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.